And if you believe him, you believe that he has the power to do it. Is that a good enough sermon for this morning? You want to go home? Turn to Matthew 13, please. I'm sure all of you have heard the expression, they come from good seed, or they come from good stock, right? You've heard that? I was working one day, I think it was at the Nell's grocery store, I think we were mulching, me and my brothers and I, whichever way you want to put it. And some lady came by that knew us, and she said to me, there's one of those hard-working Nells. I felt pretty good. And at that point in time, I was working hard. It was a compliment to my heritage, my ethics, and it was kind of made me feel like I came from good stock or good seed. I think all of us would like to say or try to say or hope we come from good seed or good stock. You know, at least we would like to think so. But I'd like to talk about a different type of seed today. In the passage that we're going to read, I'm sure all of you have heard messages on the subject and various ways of putting it, and I just felt like we ought to study this and share this morning for two reasons. Number one, I had this already as a snow day devotional about a month and a half ago when we were thinking snow might come during church, and it did, but it didn't lay. Do you remember that about a month and a half ago? And we canceled Sunday school, but not church. And as you know, I've been doing live streaming, so it just didn't feel right not to have anything. But it also didn't feel right to preach the sermon I was going to preach in church because it didn't seem like a snow day sermon. Not that talking about seed is a snow day sermon either, but anyhow, I had that prepared, so I didn't use it, so I couldn't let it go to waste. But the other reason is, and more important reason, is because this is a subject I've been concerned about for quite a while, and that is, how serious are we about being a Christian? The passage we're about to read really nicely puts this concept into a clear word picture, and I really like this word picture. So if you're at Matthew 13, we'll start reading with verse 1. And by the way, if anybody wants any more handouts from the last couple of weeks, if you watched online and weren't here in church and you want one, I'll have them back with me in the back, and then I'll throw the rest out. So, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. The great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Let me just stop here and say, I am so glad that Jesus used parables, because a parable is a simple story. It's a word picture. Jesus used these to get the message across. And simple is a good word, because we as humans have simple brains and they need jump-started every once in a while. And a parable does just that. So these word pictures, these illustrations do a really good job of that. He must have known us pretty well, because he knew we needed something simple to get the message across. And I'm so glad we have a father that knew that we needed things like that and sent his son to be the example and give us these very simple spiritual lessons. So back to verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you look further down into the chapter, we're not going to read those verses now, but verses 18 to 23, Jesus explains that whole parable step by step. I'm going to use that here in a little while. But think about it. Wouldn't it be awesome to sit at the feet of Jesus in that group or crowd as he explained why he just said what he said, and he explained it all to you, not only just told you the truth, but then explained it? That would be so awesome. And I'll just say, there's coming a day, it might not be too long, when you'll have the chance to do that. And I hope your heart is where I want to be there with him someday. I'm going to talk about that next week a little bit, so spoiler alert just a bit. But anyhow, I'm so thankful Jesus used the teachings he did, but then also took the time to explain them. Keep your Bibles open. As I said, we're going to go back and look over those several verses, but then jump to 18 and 23 and kind of include them as we go through here. But first, I want to break down the characters in this parable. I think you all know who they are, but it's just a way of getting this started. Obviously, the sower is our Heavenly Father. You know, he's the one that's spreading the seed of truth to whoever's willing to listen, and by whatever means he chooses. And that's mainly by using his word, but he uses so many ways of getting his word across through song or preaching or just simply reading or studying. The different types of ground or dirt is our human hearts. And we are the ones who receive this seed of truth, and we let it sprout in our hearts. It's a really cool word picture. And there's something very awesome about watching a seed that you put in the ground sprout and grow into a plant or a tree or whatever. It's very incredible to see the seed of God's word, the seed of truth, plant in someone's heart and see it sprout and see them bearing fruit and becoming a mature Christian. Now, I called this sermon good seed. Technically speaking, we're not the seed, we're the dirt. But not everybody feels real comfortable being called dirt, so maybe we could refer to us as soil. And sometimes that's not really nice either. My boys are soiled quite a bit because they play in the dirt. Anyhow, there's four different types of soil that I want to share here and compare that to our human hearts. And the first is the wayside. If you look back at verse 4, you'll see some seed fell by the wayside and the birds came and ate them. I think this parable really fits this countryside where we live. Everyone here, I think, either is currently farming or has worked on a farm at some point in your life. Pretty sure about that, except for maybe just a few of you. So this analogy of planting, I'm sure you all understand. The wayside is anywhere where there isn't good dirt to grow a seed. You know, that could be a road, you know, around your farm, or it could be that hard-packed tractor path that you take between the fields. It just doesn't have a chance to take root. So look down with me to verse 19. Jesus is explaining, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that is sown in the heart, that he who receives seed by the wayside. Of all these different types of hearts, I think this is the one that is the most dangerous. Wayside soil is hard-packed. It's hard. For a person's heart to be described this way, we call them a hard-hearted person. And this verse uses the phrase, someone who doesn't understand. Commentators say that this phrase, maybe in our day and age way of speaking, would be someone who doesn't want to understand. And I honestly think that this category fits many people today. And this is what really concerns me. It's the fact that they call themselves Christians, yet they don't want to dig deeper. They don't want to understand. They just don't have a desire to. So hear me out on this. I've seen so much complacency in the past years. The serious desire to grow and be more like Christ is so lacking across our evangelical circles today. I don't think anyone who calls himself a Christian would think of themselves as hard-hearted. But when they're living careless and complacent, the natural tendency is to become hard-hearted. Many people who claim to know Jesus Christ are simply content, sit on the sidelines. I've come to church on Sundays. You know, I sing a song and I say a prayer and I call myself a Christian and I'm happy with that. But that's as far as it goes. If you treat your friendships with other people that way, treat your friendships with your spouse that way, it won't grow. It won't last long. And your relationship with Jesus won't last long. It'll get hard. You have a hard heart. So we need to be serious about serving Christ, about being a Christian. Satan wants us to be careless. That way when truth comes into our lives, he can easily just grab it away like the birds did in this parable. Might not even have a chance to notice it. You just snatch it away. So stop and evaluate yourself. How serious are you about being a Christian? Being a Christian should be getting top priority in our lives. It should be the top of the list. So have you checked your heart recently? What kind of soil would you compare it to? Determine it's not wayside soil. That's not what we want our hearts to be like. Then we have stony ground. Look back with me at 5 and 6. When he threw the seed out, some landed on stony places, and it didn't have much earth. And immediately sprang up because there was no depth of earth, but as soon as the sun came out, it scorched it and it died away. I'm sure you've all experienced this personally or seen it when it comes to planting things without a good soil depth. It's those places where seeds grow really good when it's moist and maybe a little bit more cool, but when it gets hot and dry, they're the first places that dry off. I have one of those spots over at the house. If some of you know, I put drain pipes from the house out to the parking lot, and they're just under the ground surface enough to plant grass over them. So as soon as it gets dry, that inch and a half of whatever of soil that's over it, that strip gets brown first. When I was growing up, we had a very large sand mound in our backyard, which my dad heartlessly, when the sewer company came through, he heartlessly pushed the sand mound down flat and took away our sledding hill and our rolling down the hill on our sides. All that fun got pushed down, and our hopes and dreams got smashed into the backyard. But it was rather interesting, after they covered it with topsoil, every time now in the summertime when it starts getting dry, there are two perfectly rectangular areas in the backyard that start to turn brown first. I'm assuming it's part of the old septic system. I don't know what it is down there, but two rectangles on an angle, and they just, as soon as they start getting brown, you know, we need rain. And that's one of my gauges when I was in business. I'd see those, okay, we need rain. We're starting to get dry. In other words, when everything is perfect, the seed grows really good. But when it gets a little tough, it dies. Doesn't that sound like some people? Jesus gives the explanation for this type of soil in verses 20 and 21. So look with me there. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So here's the scenario. Someone really does want to be a Christian, but they don't want to put the work in. They desire to be like Christ, but they really don't want to do what it takes to get that depth. Whatever the reason might be, they're not, quote, digging in to get the strong root system they need to have. Then when the heat of adversity comes, and we all know it does, they struggle and many times give up. Another possible scenario is someone who's excited to be a Christian and they want to be just as mature as a friend of theirs that goes to church. So they mimic them. They wear what they wear. They talk how they talk. They pray how they pray. Has anyone ever seen this happen? Because I've seen it happen personally. Someone did it with my mom. They followed the example of my mom. Not that I'm saying my mom is the best person in the world. She really is a saint. But they did that. They followed her example. And it wasn't too long. They just got weary of it and quit. And they'd stop coming to church. They weren't ready to grow quickly. Something comes along to discourage them. They give up. We all face tough times. We can call that maybe the summer sun. It'll dry us up spiritually if we're not rooted deep in God and His Word. Satan loves this type of soil, and he wants us to have that type of soil. He wants a heart that's not grounded spiritually, and he's going to throw things our way to test to see if it really is that case. This past Wednesday evening in our Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about maturity, and I made the statement, I'd rather see a Christian grow slowly and develop maturity rather than this explosive growth, because many times this quick growth just doesn't seem to last. And I think that's what this verse is talking about. So determine in your hearts that you won't be shallow. Determine that you're going to grow. Grow slowly. Grow at the pace God wants you to. Because as you do it the way God wants you to, you'll be more stable. And when those storms, well, the dryness, the heat, the adversities, you won't wither and die. You'll be stronger and you'll be deeper in your relationship with Him. Then there is choked by thorns. Verse 7 says, some fell among the thorns and they sprang up and choked them out. At the grocery store, the Nell's grocery store in East Berlin, I was working. I had an ongoing, job security there. The entrance, I think it was the same entrance the lady came by that we were mulching. There was two landscape beds that had ground-covered junipers in it and a few other plants. But somehow or other, under those junipers, they had developed a thistle system. And if you know anything about thistle weed, what you see above the ground is just an indication of all the deep roots that are rooted through the ground. There's a whole system there. And I can give you the scientific details of that if you want it sometime. But I'm pretty sure they were spread over the years across the field and just rooted there. But once a month, I would have to pull all those thistles out. And it was quite the patch. And some of them were 18 inches tall with the nice pretty flowers on top. And of course, I had to do that barehanded because with gloves, I couldn't get them out right. So my fingers were sore for a few days afterwards. So whenever I hear thorny or thistles or whatever, that's the picture I get. This stupid flower bed that would not let me alone. Now, I will say this. Other things would still grow fine. The thistles didn't kill them. Just made it look really ugly. Or it hit them. And I'm going to explain that here in a minute. But let's look at Jesus' explanation of this verse in of this parable or this explanation here in verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I don't think any one of us wants to be described as thorny. That would sort of be like a prickly or an easily irritated personality. We don't want that. But that's not what this means. This thorny ground is stuff that comes and chokes out our spiritual growth. It really could be easily described as a weed patch. You know, anything, if you have a garden, weeds will overtake what you have planted and choke it out. Everyone goes into their garden well or does something to keep the weeds from growing because you don't want it to kill what's growing there. And if we compare this to our hearts, thorns in life is just stuff that comes up, distract us from our relationship with God. And honestly, it's going to vary from person to person. It could be, depends what season of life you're in. I mean, some of you are now retired and thinking about traveling. I won't mention any names, but some of you are still working and some maybe the job is crowding out your spiritual walk. Maybe someone is enjoying a certain type of sport and that crowd, you name it. Anything can crowd out a relationship with God. You know what's ironic is for me, it's church. Church stuff can crowd out my relationship with God because that's my job. And so I get too involved, too focused on something, and I'm missing my own spiritual quiet time. We need to determine that whatever the distraction is, whatever the thorns are, that we get rid of them and not let Satan use that to snuff out or crowd out or choke out a relationship with God. Thistles of this life, the stuff of this life, can destroy us spiritually. The other point I want to make is the fact that in those flower beds that I had, thistles grew. It didn't kill the stuff that was there. In fact, I even planted flowers. They had some flowers that were going to go bad in the front of the store, and they said, plant them out there, so I did. And they didn't die. If I kept them watered, they were okay. And the thistles just hid them. They hid the beauty. As Christians, if we allow thistles in our lives, stuff to crowd out our life, it will hide our testimony. If we allow things to make us too busy or to crowd out our relationship with God, our testimonies will suffer. We don't want something hiding our testimony because others need to see it. So let's determine that those thorns or thistles, let's get rid of them before they crowd out our relationship with God. Then this last type of soil it was good soil, and I'm calling that clean dirt. And I just called it clean dirt because I thought it sounded cool. There is no such thing as clean dirt. Well, good dirt, but clean dirt, it's an oxymoron. It's like Microsoft Works or a smart blonde, you know, if my sister's watching, that was for her. Anyhow, this soil that Jesus compared to good dirt, the heart, it's an attitude that we all as Christians should desire to have. So look again at verse 8. But some others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. And then it says the amount it yielded. It's so cool to see a field that's rich and fertile spring up in a new beautiful crop. I'm sure those of you that are farming, it's just there's some kind of a rush, some kind of a pleasure. You see new shoots coming up out of the ground. For me, whenever I planted a new lawn or reseeded an area that was needed fixing or whatever, seeing those really tiny, brand new, light green shoots of grass coming up was so cool. And yeah, I literally loved watching grass grow. Maybe small things do amuse small minds, but that was just, it was really neat to me. Jesus explained in verse 23 how this is compared to a heart that is open. But he who received good seed, or he received seed on the good ground, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. And just one more thing to notice, he used the word understand here again, just like he did at the beginning. If we apply the same principle, understand, to if we want to understand or we really want to hear it, we will say this is a person who chooses, a person who desires to understand. So we need to have hearts that desire to be like Jesus, studies God's words, listens to the truth, where being careful who's presenting it, but listening to the truth of God's word. And for me as a pastor, it's just so fulfilling to see a person dig deep and seek God and really try to grow, because they're the ones that last spiritually. They don't fizzle out and don't become distracted. That's what this world needs, good, solid Christians that are dedicated to making a difference. So ask yourself if you desire to be more like Christ. Do you want to grow in your relationship with Him? Do you want to understand? Do you want to grow? These are all questions that we should be asking ourselves. In today's society of getting whatever we want, Christianity just takes too much work. Let's determine that we won't be in that camp. So what kind of heart do you have? I trust you have one that is good dirt, clean dirt, one that your heart is ready for the seed of God's word to take root and to grow and to mature spiritually. To wrap things up, I just want to point you to verse 9 and just show you something that I feel like the Lord showed me in reading this. Verse 9 says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There are so many people today sharing the truth. And I've said this before, but it's something that has been bothering me. And if you call it a pet peeve, I don't even know if I'd give it that kind of, it's more than a pet peeve. So many people have their version of the truth, and they're insisting it's right, even when it's not. What was that thing you put up, Greg's? The most dangerous type of lie is someone who believes the lie? Or maybe that was Bev that put it up. I think it's a sad fact today that more people are willing to hear something that is conspiratorial or controversial and then argue about it and try to promote it rather than really and truly hearing truth as presented in Scripture. Do you know what I'm trying to say there? It's more sensational. Even worse, there are people that take liberties with the Scripture and present something as truth. And I just lost my place. There it is. Something that is truth or a twisted version of what is really meant. And honestly, that's another sermon for another time, but taking the Scriptures and taking liberties with it. So my question is, are we more readily eager to hear from God, or do we want to hear something that is sensational and exciting and just stirs things up? What are we focused on? So I think it's fitting that Jesus would put this at the end of this parable, because we need to purpose in our hearts that God's truth as presented in Scripture is the only truth that we will hear. We will obey it. We will share it. Allow God to use our hearts as the ground that accepts the seed of truth that He brings. And then produce a good harvest, and allow Him to use us to produce that harvest in others. So let's be good seed. Let's be good dirt. Let's pray together.